Now, some have had this negotiation of the fate of a city somewhat disturbing, but I find Abraham's continual excuses not only somewhat comical, but also deeply consoling. As a true friend of God, Abraham knows that he can bargain with God like this. This story demonstrates a remarkable intimacy between God and humanity. This closeness between God and us is also reflected in our gospel. If you happen to have read this week's parish e-letter, you will already know that my taste in Netflix and other online video sources is unconventional and admittedly eccentric. I enjoy Icelandic detective series, Korean soap operas, Turkish comedies, and the like. Sometime in the last year, I watched an Israeli TV series about an elite police squad. And at one point, a grizzled SWAT team member returns to his home, and his two little children gleefully run to him, shouting, "Abba, Abba." The same Abba is as in our father. I was so taken with this scene that I watched it several times over. Our friendship and intimacy with God are at the core of our gospel. In Jesus' time, it was the custom of rabbis and other teachers to instruct their followers in simple prayers that they could use. And here, the disciples want a similar training from Jesus. In response, he tells them what to pray for, how to pray, and what results to expect. He tells them to focus first and foremost upon God, and only afterwards to ask for what they need and want. After calling upon our dad, there's a focus on what we might call God's agenda, that God's name be held holy, that God's kingdom come, etc. After this, shall we say, God-word focus, the petitions turn to address human needs for sustenance, for forgiveness, and finally, protection in the hour of trial. Note that the way in which the petitions are stated in English can sound somewhat weak. The original Aramaic is much stronger. Make your name be held holy. Make your kingdom come. The Aramaic version boldly tells God to see to it that this desirable state of affairs comes about. The petition, "Give us this day our daily bread," has more than one meaning. The sense can be bread we need for our existence, or in an allusion to the manner with which the Israelites were fed in the desert wandering, "Give us today bread for tomorrow." That is, the bread that the people on a journey through the wilderness need to have with them. "Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us," doesn't imply that God waits to see whether we forgive before offering forgiveness to us. But it does acknowledge that we can block the flow of God's always available forgiveness if we do not lead forgiving lives ourselves. The final petition reflects an awareness that the world is often a place of trial, persecution, and temptation. The wording reflects Semitic idiom, "Lead us not into temptation." This isn't the most accurate translation, and you may have heard that Pope Francis recently suggested that the wording be changed to "abandon us not when in temptation." There's certainly no implication that God would lead people into trouble. The prayer is that difficulties, if and when they occur, will not prove overwhelming, causing us to mistake. As a whole, the Our Father is the prayer of a community that knows it constitutes the beloved family of God, to whom on its journey through life it constantly turns in confidence and trust to receive the benefits that only God can give us. The parable that follows comes straight out of village life in Palestine, and it's difficult to do it justice in a short homily. If it's impossible to imagine that the man who's gone to bed with his family won't get up to give bread to the friend who knocks, how much more inconceivable is it that God will remain inactive when his community is in need? Exactly the same logic applies to the three examples that follow. If human parents wouldn't act in the ways described, how much less would God? God doesn't need temple or stringent into giving us what we need. But it certainly does not always give us what we want, for our desires can sometimes be short-sighted and self-centered. The way we pray and what we ask for can be very revealing of where we are in our relationship with God, with people, and with the world around us. Persevering in prayer can help us become more aware of what we ought to be asking for. It helps to purify our prayer, makes our values and our hopes clear, and leads us to ask what is truly in our best interest. And those things